Hello, sir. Hello. Hey. Excellent. Right. Greetings from Australia. Again.
Greetings.
Nice album. First time with Nuclear Blast. How'd that happen? Okay.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, your first time with Nuclear Blast.
Yeah. So it's really important for us. It's an album that a lot of new people are getting acquainted with our music. We hope that they will like it.
Yeah, and again, you've worked with, I mean, now you've got a choir as well as an orchestra.
well, after communion, we have incorporated the symphonic element to our music more solidly, and gradually we're building upon our experience, and now. As it is our 11th album, you can say we have much more experience, and also we can attempt crazier stuff, like for instance what we did in the song "Coming Storm."
Mm-hmm. So does it make it harder to do, you know, pre-production if you've got, you know, extra things like that?
Of course, it's not the easiest thing to do. We have so many things to consider because actually we have the potential to use whatever we have in our mind, and this is really wide and really crazy. We have the first phase of post-production, but we make some demos for ourselves. And we distributed them to all the members of the band. And then we have to pick the most interesting ideas that we think that we can build upon them.
Mm-hmm.
From day one, we have the orchestral element. Actually, Christos provides us from day one his ideas in this kind of arrangement.
Yep.
So we have from day one some really good stuff to build upon, but then it's a matter of which member of the band will focus on which song,
mm-hmm.
and the combinations between the members of the band in finding the bridges between the songs that connect the one idea with the other idea.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then it's the third phase, that the phase of the vocals. It's we have so much, so many different protagonists to use, because we have Seth's main vocals, we have my clean vocals, mm-hmm. we have choirs, three different kind of choirs. Children, female, male, and so we have to make a lot of choices. And then when we made all those choices, we have to record them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's we are using three different studios in three different countries. We have the main recordings in Greece for our convenience, for the metal element, of course. Mm-hmm. We have recordings in Prague for the orchestral parts, and we have recordings in Sweden. That is the place that our producer has his headquarters, and he prefers to have the upper hand for the recordings of the drums, because it's the most natural sound and one of the most important aspects. Of the sound for the album. And then we have to provide him all those different recordings. We are talking about hundreds of channels.
Yeah.
And he has to digest all this information, find the spots that are clashing together, because when you have so many frequencies, there's a battle going on. And so it's a really, really difficult task.
From
day one until day zero, the last.
Indeed. I imagine that Jens is used to it by now, though, isn't he?
What?
I imagine that...
Jens, yeah.
So he knows what to he knows what to expect from you.
He knows. And we try not to bring him to craziness. He attempted at one point to, because we had this situation with restrictions with flights and quarantines and stuff like that, he attempted to create something from distance, but it was impossible. Of course, he reached to a really good level, but we had to go there, to be there with him, to help him. Because, as I told you, there was so many channels, so much information to digest, and it was not easy to communicate from abroad by internet. You have to be there. And so at the last phase of production, we had all together as a band a good meeting, saying for each song the specific points that should be heard, mm-hmm. and instructions. And then me and Saikon went to Sweden with Jens to help him. And we were the bridge, you can say, from the band in communication with the other guys in Greece. Mm-hmm. And we sat, we remained there for a week, about a week, the final week of production. And when we find, you can say, when we found the first steps, the first songs, then things became gradually easier for the production. And thus we have this result.
Okay, great. Has the live... the dynamics of the band live changed, given that you've now got, you know, you're touring rhythm guitarists and you're doing the vocals? Like, I assume you're not playing guitar anymore live, is that right?
Yes, because we didn't become like Iron Maiden with three guitars on stage. Mm. And as I'm not I'm in specific live shows anyway, and that's why Saikon came to the band first as a live guitarist. Yep. But Saikon became a brother, became something really, someone really close to the band. Also, he contributed a song in riffs for this album. Mm-hmm. It's his first contribution for the band. And so he became a permanent member for the band. And thus we had to make some decisions about the live shows. Decisions that will not obstruct the audience and make additional troubles for the setting of the, you know, for the live shows. And the solution of me taking for the live shows specifically the vocal role, we found it the most appropriate. Also, this allows me to become a more theatrical character for the band, as I have free hands and I can focus 100% on the performance of the theatrical performance. So when I'm with the band, it's a matter of elevating the theatrical element of the band.
And I mean, that makes sense because you write the lyrics, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
it feels really natural.
Indeed. So what the themes of this album? I mean, you've generally got some philosophical themes across the board, but this one's obviously about, I suppose, independence of thought, things like that.
Yes, well, in all the albums I have many different ideas and in my mind that I want to evolve into lyrics. The specific album was also influenced by the whole situation of the pandemic, and as I had much time in my hands, sitting in my house and isolation, and also having negative ideas and negative emotions to deal with. But actually, I'm a positive person. Whatever bad happens, I try to find a way to use it as a point to evolve, to think. And I'm a critical mind, so I had the chance to have an outlook on many things. Also, a lot of philosophical questions arose. Questions about mankind, because it is obvious that it is some really contradictory element in the psyche of mankind. We are prone to greatness, we are prone to destruction, self-destruction, as a matter of fact. Also, there is an alarm sound right now, from nature, from everywhere. Yep. We can all sense it, especially when you are an artist and your senses are 100% more attuned. Then you have some way, you have to find some way to put all those thoughts into your art.
Yeah,
and so.
Sorry, I was going to say, because. That's cool. Like, Seth's artwork is very good at capturing the mood, and obviously he's done some artwork for other bands as well. So, do you go to him and say, these are the ideas that I want to portray, or does he just sort of do it himself?
No, no, we are discussing together. Seth, from day one, presented us with his ideas. From the first ideas that he had, and gradually he changed them, adding elements, and actually he went mad with this release, because he had so much time in his hand, unlike in the other albums. And at some point he created, he used more than 100 layers, different layers, on the Photoshop, you know, with different details after details. It's like you can sink inside the artwork, and especially those that will buy the vinyl, and will have the chance to see the artwork in a more wider larger surface. They will find out a lot of elements. It's a world, you can say. He created a whole world for example.
I'd say similarly, the music, there's lots of layers, but even just the mixing, the way it's done, you know, you have one instrument panned left, another panned right, and then they combine. I mean, is that the kind of thing that you sit down with Jens and go, this is what I want, or is he just, you know, a Svengali, you know?
Some of those ideas were mine, you can say.
Okay.
For instance, the balance for the song Desert Throne, that you have this kind of interaction between the guitars, like the one guitar in your ear, the bass, and then the other guitar, and then combined, and that was my idea. We have a lot of ideas in our mind. We are not going to the producer without not knowing what we want to do. We had the specific ideas and instructions for the songs. Of course, when Jens has some idea Or when he feels like when he feels that one from my ideas would not work good, he says it. And we are really open to each other. Really, have no limitations. We say whatever we feel that is correct, and then we have to make the final decisions. Of course, we trust Jens because he's. A genius as a producer, but also he trusts us because he liked a lot of our proposals, because you can say that from day one, now that we are more experienced, we create the songs with dynamics. We don't want to have a song that from start to the end you have something flat. Yeah. All the time the orchestra playing, all the time the guitars play. So we are thinking how to make these points in the song that there will be some sharpness, some point of quiet, some point of sharpness, some dynamics, you can say. And there are some clever ways to do things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got acoustic instruments in the title track, the opening track, Collector, and Neuromancer. So, doing those little bits, what's the sort of instrumentation that you're doing there?
Yeah, well, the songs that have a lot of 12-string electroacoustic guitars were brought by Seth, right. Actually.
Okay.
So, Seth, we just had with Codex Omega a little bit of fun with a 12-string electroacoustic guitar, and Seth was fell in love. Yeah. And so this time he used the specific instrument a lot, because he wanted he felt more that he had a lot of great ideas pumping up when he played the 12-string, as the 12-string emulates this kind of more traditional kind of instruments. And like bouzouki, like mandolin, like you know. So he had a lot of ideas that way. And also, it was an opportunity for us to have this as a skeleton for the songs. And that led us to ideas that were more fresh for us. Bringing something new to the on the table, and also, of course, affected the compositions in a matter that I had some places also for my clean vocals, because when you have this kind of 12 strings playing, this kind of a cinematic quiet behind, and a couple of instruments from the orchestra playing, then when if you put some clean vocals with emotion, intent, and some lyrics that mean something, then you have a really powerful result.
Yeah, certainly. And similarly with, you know, variants, the drumming, for example, Psycho History, you've got a bit of, like, later on there's a bit of China Crash, things like that.
Yeah. Well, this song was built around an idea that Krim provided to us.
Okay.
He provided some riffs, and we chosen the specific riff that starts the song. Mm-hmm. We felt that it's a riff that is a drum riff, you can say. Drums and the riff are one. And we really liked it, and I said that I will take this idea and create around it. So it was my task to build around this basic idea of Cream with the rhythmical pattern that he brought. Mm-hmm. And I made some arrangements. I tried different stuff. At first, I tried to have like all the other songs, parts that you know, a slower part, more melodic part. Yeah. But we felt that the specific song needed a different approach. not to be like the others on the album. It needed to be like a feast from first second to the next, because it was a really groovy song. And so the last version of that song was the version that you are listening to, but it is more jaggy, more guitar oriented, and also you could say more sounds more updated.
Yeah,
it's considering the riffs, more up to date.
It's even got like a drone guitar figure in there, and a little bit maybe Meshuggah-ish.
Yes, because it's more mental, you can say. It's more rhythmical. As Meshuggah, some bands built more upon the drums, more about the rhythm, and this is the common denominator.
Yep.
With this song, because this song was built upon the drums, actually.
No, that makes perfect sense. When you're looking at the album as a whole, is there a particular track that you're most proud of, so to speak?
Well, I cannot make discriminations, because it's like one giant song for me.
Okay.
When we are creating an album, we consider it as as something solid, not something that you divide it to pieces. Of course, the various songs have a character of their own, and also different dynamics and lyrics, of course. But for me, it's a chain, you know. It's if you isolate one song, if you see it as a single only, then you lose the power of the album, because the songs play, there are like team players. You know, you need the scorer, you need the good goalkeeper, you need everybody in the team. And it's a matter of seeing everything as that has a place in an album. So it's an album vision.
Okay, no, I understand. Just quickly, what guitars and tunings are you using?
What?
What guitars and guitar tunings are you using, just out of interest?
In D, we are tuning.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have a sponsor, Gibson, and I love Gibson guitars.
Excellent.
I love this specific sound, warm sound that they have, and so I recorded with Gibson. I have a special Gibson that I use. It's the same that I also used for the Codex Omega. I used also another Gibson, a vintage Gibson, really old one, with a huge body. That had an amazing, a really amazing sound. Of course, we have also ESPs, we have 12 strings, we have a lot of guitars were used, actually, because we wanted to combine the strengths from different bodies and different guitars. As I record, we record at least four hands with different guitar sounds.
Yep.
In order to have this massive attack of metal.
No, that makes perfect sense, and that explains the, you know, the rich sustain and the excellent tone that you can hear. So, final question for you, because we're running out of time. Any chance that you might be coming back to Australia?
Well, right now we have no specific plan, but we have a general plan.
Yeah.
That we must visit all the parts of the map, and of course Australia also. There have been so many years that we were inactive and just waiting, and all this wait has built up an anxiety to return on the stage. Also, our fans everywhere just ask, you know, for a return. Now it's a really good opportunity with the new album, Modern Primitive. If we find a good spot and combination with other band and the logistics and everything, surely we will come back.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having a chat to us. I'll let you go.
Thank you very much for your support.
Bye.